Hey, I'm base. Turn it up on how much the hundreds of the plot you get a stove high a person carries out. Person carries out from a store, which is Rosh Hashanah, to a plakia, which is a plaza, which is a Rosh Hashanah, derech stov, through the stov, which is an area where there are benches and stalls and whatever, where the merchants sit, that area in a kaimelis. So chayev, he's chayev because he didn't actually stop in the kaimelis. He walked straight through from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, therefore he's chayev. Or ben azay poter, whereas ben azay says that he would be poter. I think Moses is going to explain why.
So he carries
something that would make him high for carrying on Shabbos. Each item, each type of thing that a person carries, we're going to learn later on, the 7th and 8th and 9th and 10th parakim, that there's a minimum amount for various things that a person is high for carrying on Shabbos, a certain amount of water, a certain amount of paper, a certain amount of food, et cetera, et cetera.
Carrying a Shabbos, since he's carrying?
That we'll get to in the tzaddik. So you have a concept called high notes, that's my, whatever. But right now, we're talking about carrying something that's going to make him chayev on Shabbos. So the Tanakhama of the Braisa says it doesn't matter the fact that he walked through the stov, he's still chayev. Well, Ben Azay poter, whereas Ben Azay says he's poter. So the Shlema Ben Azay, I can understand why Ben Azay says he's poter. The reason is because Ben Azay holds that whenever he's walking is, in a certain sense, considered like he's stopping. Every time he puts down his foot, and every time he picks up his next foot, it's as if he's doing an akira and a hanocha. So therefore, in effect, he did a hanocha in the kaimelis, in the stuff, because he walked through there. Then he did another one from there to Rosh Hashanah. So he's potter, because you know the only chai from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Tosis, by the way, talks about that brings from the Yerushalmi. In that case, according to Ben Azay, how could a person ever be chai for carrying four amos in Rosh Hashanah? And so the Yerushalmi actually answers, you would have to say that he jumped the entire four amos. Now, Al-Gemara doesn't mention that because Al-Gemara is not worried about that. It's one thing to say Mahalach Ka'omid when you're going through another Rishus, when you're going through Karmelis, it's another thing to say it in Rishus Adam itself. There is actually Rabbi Chezkel Abramsky wants to say that even the Yerushalmi, that even Ben Azay and the Yerushalmi don't mean that every time a person puts down his foot, it's considered like a separate Akira and Hanasa. He wants to say just the other way around, that because he's continuing to walk, in effect what you have is there was no real Akira from Rosh Hashanah. In effect, you have an Akira at some point now when he's walking in Karmelis, and therefore, yeah. Anyway, the point is that's all right. So according to Ben Azay, that's the deal. According to him, therefore, you're potter when you're going through the stov, which is a Karmelis, because then you have Mahalach Ka'omid, then you have, you're standing over there, it's considered, you're walking over there. As you're walking through, it's considered that, I said it wrong. What Rabbi Chesko wants to say is because you're walking on the ground, and you always have one foot on the ground, therefore you can't really say that there was a proper Akira or Hanasa. As opposed to when Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi about you're jumping, the point of the jumping is just to establish an Akira, not that you have to jump the entire Kuwamis. It's not that easy for a person to jump that distance, but that way he has both his feet off the ground, and therefore you can say that's where the Akira starts. Anyway.
We said someone else also feels that by every time you stop and go, you're walking.
No, we talked about Sotra Kamisha Huncha, that's something else. We talked about
it. You didn't mention it all.
I mentioned that Ben Azay holds this. Okay. So Ben Azay holds Mahalach Ka'imit. A little Bonon, but we have to ask according to the Bonon. He nami because sadly Mahalach Lav Ka'imit dami. Granted, they don't have to agree with Ben Azay that Mahalach Ka'imit. They're entitled to hold that while he's walking, it's all considered one act of carrying, and therefore you had Akira from Rosh Hashanah and Hanukkah and Rosh Hashanah. Heichash Gafna, Kahai Gavna D'Chayet. But still, where do you have a case like that? Where you have a reshus in between, where you should be chayev. Shouldn't we say still that the chiyuv midaraisa is only when he's going from one reshus directly to another without another reshus in between? Where do we have a precedent for the idea that you're passing through another reshus and are still chayev? Because you can compare it to the case where a person carries something in Rishas Rabim more than 4 amos. Now, what do you say? Hossam. Now, what happens over there? Lab afagab kamad nokit leva ozo potter. Now, let's say so the person starts carrying in Rishas Rabim. He's not yet chayev as he's carrying it. He's only chayev, as long as he's walking, he's still potter. He manach le chayev, only when he puts it down or stops, only then is he chayev. So in other words, what you have is that you have the carrying 4 amos, which is one of the parts that makes him chayev for hotzah on Shabbos, for carrying in Rishas Rabim on Shabbos. The other part is the stopping. In between, you have something else which is not adding to the chiyuv because you already had 4 amos and you're eventually going to have anacha. But we still see that you can have something else interrupting in between. Hachinami lo yishna. The same thing over here. The fact that you have an akira from Rishas Yochid at the beginning, a hanacha in Rishas Rabim at the end, even though you have something else, namely the caramelist in between, shouldn't matter.
Yes, it does matter.
Well, that's what we're saying. It doesn't matter, and therefore that's why the Rabbanon are going to say he's chayim. Given that they don't agree with Ben Azay, Mahalach Koyed, so all we have is, according to them, so it's just a matter, the Gemara was asking, why should you be chayim? Where do you have a precedent for walking through another Rishos and being chayim? The answer is the same way as you have a precedent. You carry 4 amas, but then you also carry a 5th and 6th and 7th amma, and you're not yet chayev until you do the hanacha. So you have the beginning of the malacha, something else, then the end of the malacha, and the two of them combined together to be chayev. So the same thing here. You have the beginning of the malacha in Rosh Hashanah, the middle of it, there's something in between, the timeless, and the end of the malacha in Rosh Hashanah. However, the Gemara says, midomi.
One second. According to the Mishnah, you're chayev from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah.
We know that. Here we're talking about you're going to a timeless.
But that's the point.
What do you mean that's the point? How do we know that when there's a caramelist in between? So the answer is, Rav Safra is telling us, I'll show you, that's out. But the problem with that is, me, dummy, how do you compare it? In that case, when you're talking about he's carrying an Rishas Rabim, let's say he were to put it down after 4 amos, he'd be chayev at that point. And if he puts it down after 5 amos, he's also chayev. There's no particular place outside of 4 amos where you can say he has to put it down here in order to be chayev. Hocha, but over here, he manach le b'stav. If he were to put it down in the stav, makam potterhu, then it would be midaraisa makam tur, and midrabanan is only a camel, and midrabanan is a camel, and there's no chiyuv. So it's not comparable. So you can't compare it. It's not just a matter of that you have the beginning of the malacha, something else, and the end of the malacha. In the case of Rishas Rabim, what you have in between is itself more closely related to the malacha, because if you put it down there, you would right away be chayev, as opposed to the stub. It's not in the picture at all.
If he starts in Rishas Rabim and goes through Hamas and goes through Rishas Rabim and ends up by Rishas Yachid, it's the same thing, right?
Yeah, well, same concept.
So you're saying, because the result wouldn't be the same if he made the anacha and the Rosh Hashanah in the Carmen
versus if he makes it outside of 4 amos and Rosh Hashanah, exactly. Right.
Then therefore there should be
a difference, exactly. However,
if he went a few different Rosh Hashanah, but his final definition was not in third, he's still going to be higher.
If he carried 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah, or if he carried at some point from Rosh Hashanah, okay, so you're talking about, let's say he walked from Rosh Hashanah through Rosh Hashanah without stopping, and then went, was it a Bakhtur or a Kamalist or whatever? So then there was no Hanocha in Rosh Hashanah, so he's going to be caught to Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Ella, no, you're right. Let's compare differently. Midi to have it, fine. Let's compare it rather to the case where the person carries it exactly 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah. Namely, Hossam, now over there, Lab Apagab the Imanachle the 5th Amos Potter. Now, what would happen if he were to put it down within 4 amos? He'd be Potter, because less than 4 amos. Ki Manachle the 5th Amos, Chayev. And if he puts it down at the end of 4 amos, then he's Chayev. Hochinami Loishna. So the same thing over here. Fine. He puts it down on the Kaimel of Sil indeed be Potter, but he puts it down in the Shasarab and he's going to be Chayev. Same principle. However, again, we want to ask the dummy, still, how do you compare? Hossam Lagabe to have the high Gabra Makam Turu. Okay, when he puts it down within 4 amos, relative to him, it's a mokum potter because he hasn't yet carried it 4 amos. But it's not intrinsically a place which is potter from the halachas of carrying. L'kula alma mokum chiyuvu. For everybody else, that place would be a place where they could be chayev, because if they carry it more than 4 amos onto that spot, they're going to be chayev. Hachah, but over here, when we're talking about the stub, we're kowalim makam pater hu. For everybody, it's a makam pater because it's not a reshus adabim. It's not a reshus adabim. So since it differs, so that's the question. So where is the precedent? Even if we say mahalach lav ka'omid, we still have to have some kind of precedent to tell us that the Gemara is assuming with Hashtus that when the Jewish people carried from their tents to the Mishkan, to the donations to the Mishkan, that they weren't necessarily passing through Karmel. Because they didn't have stores and whatnot. They didn't have a stove there in the desert. So,
well, they had to buy something, but
well, fine, but you don't have it. There's not necessarily this kind of thing. You have stores, fine. So you have a person who goes into their, and first of all, not necessarily do they need to buy things. Pretty much everything was supplied for them by Hashem.
You know, the bond,
the water, the clothes, yeah.
Clothes was supplied.
Well, not because, I mean, they wore their whatever. Their clothes grew with them, and they got non-air covered, pressed them, washed them, pressed them. Yeah. Ella, no. Rather, let's draw an analogy like this. Midi dehavi amoytim rishos yochab rishos haravim derech tzide rishos haravim. Let's say, though, you have a person who's carrying from Rishas Yachid to Rishas Rabin through the sides of Rishas Rabin. Now, what are the sides of Rishas Rabin? So Rashi defines that, let's say, for example, you had a place, let's say you had a chaser next to Rishas Rabin, and then let's say a wall of the chaser broke down completely or partially. So now it becomes sort of an extension of Rishas Rabin. People still use it sometimes when there's a lot of traffic on the street, then people will use that to get around. That area where the wall was and now is open space, then people will use it to get around. But it's not but it's not a regular part of Rishas Rabin in the sense that most of the time people don't use it, but they use it if necessary.
The wall separates the...
Usually you have a chaser next to Rishas Rabin and you have a wall between them.
Right.
But if that wall breaks down, or part of it breaks down, right, now you have a space over there where people can pass by where the wall was, where people can now pass by,
right,
and where now it's an extension of Rishos HaRabim. But it's called Sidei Rishos HaRabim, and if a person carries from Rishos HaYachid into that, then the Rabbanon, the Yerzashi refers to a Macholikus in Eruvin, whether such a place is considered real Rishos HaRabim or not. The Chachamim over there hold it's not. Rabbi Eliezer holds it is. The space where the wall was. Yeah. Nevertheless, the fact is that if you carry out two Rishos HaRabim through it, you're chayim. Tosfos says because they probably had such things in the desert also, where you have a little bit of a space. There's a little bit of a space between a house and Rishos HaRabim, sort of like the equivalent of a sidewalk nowadays. In fact, soon the Gemara is going to mention a distinction where you have something. Another way of having Sidei Rishos HaRabim is sometimes what they would do is they would put up pegs pegs in the ground with the idea that, like this, you have a wall of a chaser, a wall of a house adjoining Rishos HaRabim. You don't want that when people are walking by, their wagons or whatever are going to brush right by the wall. Because eventually that's going to undermine the wall. So very often what you would do is you would have the wall over here, let's say, and then you stick a bunch of pegs in the ground in such a way that that's the closest that anybody can get to the that's the closest that wagons and whatever can get to the wall. Nevertheless, that area is still usable as an extension of Rishos HaRabim, because people can walk through it. That is, wagons can go between the pegs and the wall. That's what it's called, Sidei Rishos HaRabim. It's called Sidei Rishos HaRabim. It's called the sides of Rishos HaRabim, as the Gemara is going to draw that distinction soon. So again, according to Rashi, there's two types of Sidei Rishos HaRabim. One which we're dealing with right now, which is where a wall fell down, and the other which we're going to deal with soon, involving the pegs in the ground.
So let me ask you a question. The sidewalk.
The sidewalk is part of Rishos HaRabim. The sidewalk process is Rishos HaRabim. The Rabbim use it just as much as the street. Okay. Anyway, but if you carry out through the city of Rishos HaRabim, then you chayev. But Hossam, so over there, Lav Afagav the Imanachle of Tidir Rishos HaRabim Potter. Now, again, according to the Chachamim, that place is not real Rishos HaRabim. If you put something down, if you carry from Rishos HaYachid through that area and actually put it down in that area, you'd be Potter.
The pegs.
In the area between the pegs and the wall or where the wall was. But Imanachle Rishos HaRabim Chayev, yet if you put it down in the actual Rishos HaRabim, then you're Chayev Hachinam Eloishna. So the same thing over here, it's no different when you're walking through the Karmelis. As long as you don't actually put it down in the Karmelis, then you're still Chayev. However, Maskif Bar Rapapa, but Rapapa asks on that, Hanichal Rabbanon, okay, that works only according to the Rabbanon, as we just said, there's a Machloikas, the Omatsidir Rishos HaRabim, Lav Kir Rishos HaRabim Dami. They hold that these areas are not considered actual part of Rishos HaRabim. They're sort of an extension of Rishos HaRabim, in the sense that, again, people can use them when there's an overflow of traffic, but they're not real Rishos HaRabim. Ella, the Rabbi Eliezer, but what about according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? It says here that's a mistake, because it's just supposed to be Rabbi Eliezer ben Hokinus, the regular Tana. The almost city of Rishas Rabin to Rishas Rabin, dummy. He says that the sides of Rishas Rabin are like Rishas Rabin, my Ikalamema. So according to him, what are you going to say? According to him, Mechora, you come out that you're, in that case, it is full-fledged Rishas Rabin. So you're back to the question then. When you're carrying from Rishas Yochid to Rishas Rabin, fine, your person is Chayim. But where do we find that a person is carrying through an area that's not one nor the other, and we find that he's Chayim? As we're saying over here in the case of the Stav, which is a timeless. And keep in mind, the whole concept of Kaimelus is only Dirabonah. Midaraisa, that area would be a Mokum Tur. So we have to find a case where a person is carrying through an area that in Dirabonah would be a Mokum Tur, and according to the other, you don't have that. It's either Rosh Hashanah Yochid or it's Rosh Hashanah Abim, where there's no Mokum Tur in between.
What's the difference between Kaimelus and Mokum Tur?
The difference is, we're going to have soon. We're going to bring soon a Braisa that's going to define what these three Rosh Hashanah are. So a Mokum Tur is going to be anything that's not in the categories we're talking about. Wait. But right now, what we're saying is this stuff, Midaraisa, it would be Mokum Tur, Midarabonah is timeless. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, if he says that Sidei Rishos Rabin are fully like Rishos Rabin, then according to him, where do you have this in-between kind of area? And the answer is, Amalei of Acha, Breder of Ika. The answer is like this. Eimer de Shamat le Rabbi Eliezer, de Amalei Sidei Rishos Rabin, to Rishos Rabin, Dami, Hecha de Lecha Chifufi. Here's where we get into the pig. When there's no pegs to keep wagons from brushing by the wall and undermining it, then that's where Rabbi Eliezer would say that area is considered full Rosh Hashanah, because there's nothing preventing, not only there's nothing preventing people from walking there, there's nothing preventing wagons from going there when there's a lot of traffic. Aval hecha de'ikah chifufi, but when there are these pegs in the ground, so it prevents wagons and carts and whatever from getting by. Yeah, people can squeeze by there, but not, yeah. Me, Shamathlai, do you find that Rabbi Eliezer says that would be considered full Rosh Hashanah? No. Therefore, Hilkach Lahadamya. Therefore, it is exactly comparable to our case of the Sub, where, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Sidei Rosh Hashanah are, when there are pegs, are not full Rosh Hashanah. Nevertheless, again, as Tosfos says, there were probably such things in the desert as well, because you have the same kind of thing. People have wagons, people have animals and whatever, and they want to keep people from brushing by their tents and knocking them over or whatever, so they put pegs in the ground. And we see that a person carries from his tent to Rosh Hashanah and his chayim. So therefore, the same thing over here, Rabbi Eliezer is going to have to agree with that. So therefore, we have a precedent for carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah through that in-between area, which is not full Rosh Hashanah nor full Rosh Hashanah, and nevertheless, he's chayim. So the same thing with the stub.
What do you think possibly be a good example? Because the size concern used local and...
Let's wait with that soon when we start the definition of Rosh Hashanah.
At that time, when you carried between the pegs,
so if he walks out of his house, and carries something out and puts it down in the area between the wall and the pegs, he will be potter. Because we're saying it's not full Rosh Hashanah. But if he walks through there uninterruptedly and puts it down in Rosh Hashanah, then he's going to be tired. He walks through an area that's not what Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't matter.
He didn't stop,
exactly.
And that's where you take it from, that when you cross the Rishus into a Yachid or a Rabbi, then
right.
You're higher.
So therefore, when you cross it through a camel, it's exactly right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to...
Does it make any difference if it's a Muslim tour or...
No, it doesn't matter. Right. Okay, so again, according to Ben Azai, he's going to be called through on the grounds of Mahalach Ka'imit, but the Chum disagree with that. Okay, I'm going to be listening. Umoyde Ben Azai Bezor. Now, Ben Azai will agree that if a person throws something from the store out into the street through the stub, that he's going to be higher. Because then you can't say Mahal, then there's no Mahal of Ka'imah, then he's not walking through there, that you could say that his walking is considered like standing still.
He doesn't say in other words, Zodok.
Yeah.
But the one that says that Zodok is like stopping between them.
Well, we said Kotek Mishahuncha, maybe, yeah, according to Rabbi Akiva, maybe, but even then we said that we had two ways of understanding the Mahalok, so we're talking below 10, above 10, yeah. Okay. All right. In fact, we learn like that in the Braisa. Mosi mechanus the platya derech stav chayev. If a person carries out from a store to a plaza, to a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, through the stav, then he's chayev. Echad ha-mosi, whether he carries out, ve'echad ha-machnis, or whether he brings in, ve'echad ha-zorek, or whether he throws, ve'echad ha-moshit, or whether he hands something to somebody else out there. Ben Azayim, Hamoshi Ba Machnes Potter, Hamoshi Ba Zerik Chai, whereas Ben Azayim makes a distinction between walking in and out versus Zerik, which is throwing, or Moshik, which is handing. So then he's going to be chayav, because then you can't say mahalach koyim.
That
law's not like him. Okay.
This is
we're talking general dinim of Hosan Achnos on Shabbos. Yeah. Okay. Turn it up. Dalad Rishuyas L'Shabbos. Now let's get to some definitions. You are going to have a braisa which is going to define the three Rishuyas, Rishas Yochid, Rishas Rabim, and Kaimelis, and it's going to tell us a lot of details, a lot of basic dinim about them, and then the Gemara is going to spend the next couple of blocks analyzing this braisa in detail.
From this last sugya, what do we consider halachically?
That's it. Halachically, a person walks through the stub, he's going to be chayev, carrying something, but if he puts it down in the stub, he's going to be positive. Okay. So, turn it up on him. Dalad Rishuyas L'Shabbos. Rishas Yochid, Rishas Rabim, but Kaimelis, and Mokum Turu. Actually, we're going to be defining Makom Ptur a little bit also, but not in so much detail. But all right. So there are four Rishus. The Ezuhi Rishus Yachid, what is the definition of Rishus Yachid? Now, obviously, you could say a house, for example, but the Braisa wants to give us something that's a little less obvious. Chorit to Omek Dalad, to Omek Yud Barach of Dalad. If you have a ditch in the ground, which is at least 10 tefachim deep and at least 4 by 4 tefachim in size, so that is considered a Rishus HaYachid because it has walls around it. The walls of the ditch count as walls, and therefore it's a Rishus HaYachid. The chen geder shu gavaya yud v'roch of dalet, the same way if you have a fence or a wall, which is at least 10 tefachim tall and 4 tefachim wide, 4 by 4 that is, then zuhi Rishus HaYachid Gemura, that is a full-fledged Rishus HaYachid. What does it mean now? What are we adding by Zuhi Rishas Yachid, when we started by saying the Ezehi Rishas Yachid, and what is the Gemara adding? That's what Gemara is going to deal with soon. After we finish the Braisa, we're going to start analyzing the wording of the Braisa and understand why it repeated Zuhi Rishas Yachid and why it added the word Gemara.
10 by 4 by 4.
The Ezehi Rishas Rabim, what is the definition of Rishas Rabim? Sratio platya gdola, a large sratya or a large platya. Rashi over here defines that sratya is a highway that goes from one city to another. In a different place, Rashi just mentions it means a very large street. It doesn't necessarily have to be between cities. A platya gdola, or a very large plaza where everybody gathers together for business or other things. Umavoyas hamfuloshin, and mavoyas, alleyways in the city, which are 16 amas wide, which are open at both ends to the platya. Now, you have different stories over here in Rashi. Is it that Rashi is saying that we're talking about specifically where each end of the mavoi opens out into a platya?
Like
so, for example, well, so Montgomery Street doesn't really open to a platya at one end. Well, okay, that's if you consider those a platya. Okay, I mean, I was going to say an example of it would be, let's say, according to that definition, let's say an example of it might be, one end of Eastern Parkway, for example, goes to Grand Valley Plaza, which would be an example of a platya. If the other end of it did also, then that would be an example. It doesn't really, because it just continues as a street through. Yeah, but it doesn't really open up. Maybe. Okay, maybe. I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe the area where it ends over there, close to Jackie Robinson, maybe that counts as a platya. I don't know. Anyway, that's one girsa. The other girsa is Rashi doesn't mention that, in which case, according to Rashi, it would come out that the platya would have to be open, the mavoyas, rather, would have to be open at both ends to the ends of the city. Meaning, in other words, like you'd have a straight road that runs through the city, and one end of it open, one end of it at one end, and the other end at the other end. In which case, maybe the Jackie Robinson itself, maybe. It doesn't really go straight through the whole city. I mean, you know, it starts someplace in Brooklyn and ends someplace in Queens. It doesn't really go through the entire city from end to end. Maybe a better example might be Flatbush Avenue, which goes from one end of Brooklyn more or less continuously to the other. There are actually poskim achronim who say that it would also have to be going in a straight line, in which case even, for example, Flatbush Avenue wouldn't count because it does turn in some places. But based on this kind, now you also have there's another point that the Gemara did not mention over here, but you have many Rishonim learn, including Rashi and Tosfos, that you also have to have 600,000 people.
Right.
Now, does that mean that you have to have 600,000 people total in the city, and then once you have, then all the streets in the city count, all the streets in the city that meet the definition of Rishus Rabim would, that are wide enough, would count as that, when because one street opens up into another, et cetera, which opens up to a plakia gzoila where you can have 600,000 people gather, or does it actually have to be that you have 600,000 people use that street every day? These kinds of things are the kinds of things that get into the question of when you can make city Eruvin and when you can't. You mentioned Eastern Parkway before. You don't necessarily have 600,000 people traveling on Eastern Parkway every single day. The frat, especially if you consider that many of them are in cars, and then you have a question whether it's a separate resource of their own, of its own. But on the other hand, in the aggregate, New York City has a lot more than 600,000 people, and you have one street over, even Brooklyn alone has more than 600,000, and you have streets that open up into streets and whatever, and therefore you have good reason to say that the whole thing is considered a Rishus Rabim. So therefore, a really narrow street might not, but we're talking about if the street itself is 16 amos wide and opens up to another street, which opens up to another street, and through traffic can use it. I had a while back, I asked Shaila about my street. I live on Sterling Street. What are the possibilities? It ends by Brooklyn Avenue. It's one way. What are the possibilities of making an Eruv over there? And I was told that no, because the fact is, it does open up to, and it's not a dead-end street, it does open up to another street, which opens up to another, et cetera, and there's good reason to consider it an extension of Rishus Rabim.
But there's no way. Let's decide. What is the parameter? Is it capacity? Is it
that you have? I'm saying that. I was just saying you have a machloket. That's the point. You have a machloket. So Hoshiva Shevchenu Kavodishon. Now, when the base
street and Sterling Street, there's no way 600,000.
No, of course not. But it opens up to another street, which opens up to another, where altogether in the aggregate you have 600,000 people and more in the city, just in Brooklyn alone, even if you consider it separate from the other boroughs, who can conceivably use it. And according to many parts, that's enough to make it considered a Rishus Rabim, given that it itself is 16 amos wide.
So those are the various
considerations.
So
according to many opinions, now there are many poskim who use the expression that nowadays we don't have a true Rishus Rabim. On the other hand, they were living in cities where you had maybe 30,000 people in the city, and then in the times of the Rishonim, for example, you didn't have big cities with millions of people like you have nowadays. So if you say you need 600,000, then there was no way that their cities were going to meet that. But nowadays, when we live in large cities like New York or other places where you have, then there's reason to argue that we have a true Rishus Rabim again.
Even more.
But again, you do have people, you do have various coolers. For example, the idea that maybe you do actually have to have 600,000 on the street every day, not just that they could go on it, and that maybe they have to have the street straight from one end of the city to another, in which case, for example, in New York, there are very few of any such streets, because like I say, even Flatbush Avenue, for example, bends here and there. So there are
6th Avenue can carry you 600,000 people.
Maybe, but 6th Avenue doesn't go straight to 6th Avenue doesn't go straight through Manhattan. It gets interrupted by Prospect Park. I mean, by Central Park.
From the park and Colby.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily from end to end of the city. According to those poskim, yes. So you have people who are Makel. I mean, you have, for example, when you talk about Manhattan, for example, Rav Moshe was very much against making an Eruv there, and indeed they don't have an Eruv. I think maybe they have Eruv in small areas of it.
Anywhere
not.
In Manhattan.
I don't think so, yeah. Maybe.
Not
unless you make actual doors. Not unless, we'll get to that soon in the Gemara, actually. But just making a Tzoros HaPesach, just a Tzoros HaPesach is not good enough. Because you can't make a Tzoros HaPesach for a Rishus Rabim. A Tzoros HaPesach is only effective to turn a Carmelist into a Rishus Yachin. If we're saying that Sterling Street or any street in Crown Heights counts as a Rishus Rabim, then you would need actual doors.
And same thing goes for the alleyways, right?
The alleyways may be a little less so, because I don't know if there's 16 amos wide. But besides which, they're not meant for through traffic. Sterling Street is meant for through traffic, or any other street in Crown Heights is meant for through. Even I talked to Diane Raskin about it at the time. That was who I'd asked about it from London. I asked him, what about, for example, they have an Eruv on Malbone. He said the truth is, if it had been up to him, he wouldn't have allowed them to do that either. Whoever gave them the heter for the Eruv on Malbone Street, he gave them the heter. They have what to rely on. But the fact is, Malbone is a through street also. People can go through it and then go to Clove and then go to Empire, so it's also a through street.
Yeah, it is a very, very, very side street.
Yeah. It's more side street than Sterling Street, granted, but still, Okay. Anyway, let's go on.
Yeah.
Okay. So, So those kinds of things, Zuhi Rishus Adam and Gemura, that is a full-fledged Rishus Adam. Again, we're going to deal with in the Gemara why it has to repeat the word Zuhi Rishus Adam and what the word Gemura is adding.
That's
the Shatya and Platya and the Voya Sam Solution. Here's the rule. You're not allowed to carry on Shabbos from this kind of Rishus Yachid to this kind of Rishus Rabim. The Ein Machnissin Rishus Rabim Zu Rishus Yachid Zu, or vice versa, to bring something in from this kind of Rishus Rabim to this kind of Rishus Yachid. If he does bring in or out, b'shogeg is going to be chayev to bring a carbon chatas. The mazed onus koris finisko. If he doesn't maze it, if there's no edim vasura, then koris. If there's edim vasura, then skila. Aval, but now let's get into Carmelis. Yam, a lake or an ocean. Ubika, and a large open valley where there are a lot of fields. The Istavonis, an area where there are benches or pillars or whatever. That's the same as the stub that we said before. Istavonis and stub are two different ways of saying the same thing, basically. But a Carmelis, and a Carmelis, which the Gemara is going to ask on the day, what are we adding? All these things we just described are Carmelis. So those things, that is like neither one nor the other. And we talked about the other day what the derivation of the word Carmelis is. Rashi had said that it comes from the word Carmeloi, which means a forest. Tosfos over here says that it comes from the word Carmel, which means fresh grain, which is like neither hard nor soft. It's halfway in between. And the Rambam said it comes from Carmelis, like a widow who's halfway in between. She's neither married nor never married girl. Okay, anyway. So those kinds of things, being not Rishus Rabim nor Rishus Yachid, the Ein Noisin V'Noisin B'Secha, you're not allowed to carry in a Carmelis, the Ein Noisin V'Noisin B'Secha Potter, but if you did, then he's Potter, because it's only also the Rabbanon. The Ein Metzir M'Techa V'Rishus Rabim V'Loim Rishus Rabim L'Secha, you're not allowed to carry between Carmelis and Rishus Rabim, the Ein Machnissin V'Rishus Yachid V'Techa V'Loim Techa V'Rishus Yachid, or to carry between it and Rishus Yachid, you're not allowed. V'Im Hotzibihit, and it's Potter. If he did, then he's Potter, because, again, the whole definition of Carmelis is only the Rabbanon, Midaraita, that area would be Mokum Tur, so therefore you can't be Machai V'Machata, or Koreis is scale of it. It's awesome.
So what's the difference in Makom Tur and a Carmelis?
The difference is that a Carmelis is a certain area that it has a certain minimum. It has a certain minimum size. We're going to discuss later on, but basically a Carmelis has to be. It has to be a place that's at least 4x4, but it's either less than 10 tefachim tall. For example, a pile of dirt in the street, for example, or it's something like we mentioned over here, for example, a lake or an open area or fields or whatever, where it's neither Rishus Rabim, because people don't, not a lot of people walk through it or use it or whatever, but it's not Rishus Yachim, so it's not enclosed. So those kinds of things are counted tribal. Where you have Makom Tur would be, for example, so we mentioned above 10 tefachim, and Rishus Rabim is Makom Tur. Another example of Makom Tur would be, let's say, you had a pillar in Rishus Rabim, which was less than 4x4 in area, and less than 4x4 in area, and less than 10 tefachim tall, between three and nine tefachim tall, and that would be an example of a Makom Tur. So we're gonna see an example. We're gonna see an example in our Mishnah. In our Braisa, we're gonna see. Okay.
Let's
wait and see. No, certain things are gonna be Carmelis, certain things are gonna be Makom Tur. Chaseres Shor Rabim, continues the Braisa, a chotzer that belongs to many people, where you have many people's houses open into the chotzer, and a mavri that's not a through street, it's a dead end, so it's closed in with chaseres on three sides. Irvu mutarin, if they make an eruv chaseres or shittuk mavoyus, which is the subject of most of the Masechta Erevin, then mutarin, then they're allowed to carry there. Loy irvu asurim, if they don't make an eruv, then that's also the rabbanon. The Gemara says over there that Shloimeh HaMelech made the takana of eruv chaseres.
Could you repeat that?
Of the Chaseres Rabim, a chotzer that belongs to more than one person, where you have more than one person's house opened in here, or Mavoi's chain of Poloshin, or Mavoi, a side street that's not a through street, it's a dead end, it has Chaseres on three sides of it, so if you make an Eruv, you're allowed to carry it, if not, then not. They have to make an Eruv, yeah, everybody has to make an Eruv, we'll be Mavako Rishos, or whatever. Then you have to be Soicha Rishos, that's all topics for Eruv.
Yeah.
Okay. Continue the Braisa. Odom Oymed Alei Skufa. Suppose you have a person standing on the stoop of the house. Now, here we're talking about a stoop, Rashi explains, which is a Makom Tur. It's not 4x4 tefachim. If it was 4x4, then it would be some other Rishos. It would be either Rishos Yachid or Rishos Adam or Carmelis, as the case may be. But because it's not 4x4, it's considered to be a Makom Tur. So it's bottle, so he's standing on it.
It's more than 10, but it's 4x4.
No, it's not more than 10. No,
less than 10.
It's less than 10, and it's less than 4x4 in area. Yeah.
So it's
So therefore, it's a Malkum Tour. It would have to be 10 toll. So it has to be 10 toll to count as a Rishus Yachid. A person is standing on that eskufa, noting with balabayis for noting. Like he would be allowed to take something from the balabayis who's standing inside the house and give him, because he's going from Makom Torah to Rishus Yochid, and that's allowed. Noting with only the noting. Like he'd be allowed to take something from the poor person who's standing in Rishus Rabim or give him, because again, it's Makom Torah to Rishus Rabim, that's fine. Or will Vanchala use him with balabayis for noting the oni the noting the balabayis, as long as he doesn't take something from the balabayis and be the middleman and then give it to the oni. Because only the noise on the balabayas would be the middleman the other way around, to take from the onion and give to the balabayas. He's not allowed to do that, midrabban, because then he might actually carry it, then he might actually do it without, like this, he himself standing in Makom Torah. Before we were talking about a person is walking through a timeless or Makom Torah. Here we're talking about the person is standing here in Makom Torah. So if he takes something from the onion and then he gives it to the balabayas, in effect it has done a hanocha in the Makom Torah. But the Daraita is going to be called to Midrabana. We don't want him to do that because he's going to get careless. You're going to get careless. The only he's going to give directly to the balabayas and be chayim.
Yeah, standing on stupa, something that's noticeable, you're going
to get it. Nevertheless, the Chachamim found it. Rashi says the mezal to be Surah Shabbos. The mezal to be causing that a transfer is taking place between one Rishos and another.
What could you do?
So he's nothing. So he could take from the oni and keep it there with himself on the eskufa. He did himself. But say he could take something from the balabayis, but not to transfer it from one to the other. Yeah.
One second.
The im not of a nosan, but if he did shloshed and turim, all three of them are potter, because no hasarach nosan was done on a daraisa level. But again, once he's holding it in makom tur, then it's considered as though it landed there.
Especially if holding for 3 seconds.
Well, yeah.
We're saying that a Makom Yachid is 10 by 4 by 4.
Yeah.
And yet, a person is 4 by 4 less than 10.
So
what is it?
First of all, what do you mean a person is less than 10? A person is more than 10 Tfachim.
You have Avam.
A person is more than... No, who said Avam? Avam Tfachim, first of all. 4 Tfachim and 10 Tfachim. A person is taller than 10 Tfachim and a person is larger than 4 by 4. Yeah, a person is larger than 4 by 4 Tfachim.
And so I was wondering, the person himself, if he stands up.
I guess it. Okay, but nevertheless, though, the fact that he's standing there, we don't count him so much. We count the stoop that he's standing on. Okay. Acherim, the Acherim say, Iskupa Meshameshet Beis Rishuyas. The Iskupa is not necessarily a Makom Torah. It serves two different Rishuyas, meaning sometimes it's Rishus Yachid, sometimes it's Rishus Rabim, as the Gemara will later on explain on that test. What? And Iskupa is a stoop, we just said.
We're learning it now.
So it counts as two rishuyos. Bizman shah petach pasuach kelefnim. When the door to the house is open, then the eskufa, then the stoop counts as inside the house. It's considered as an extension of rishus yachid when the door is open, for reasons that we'll discuss later on in the Gemara and Daftar.
It's right in front of the door.
It's right in front of the door. Yes. This petach no kelachot. And if the door is closed, then the eskufa counts as outside. Then it counts as part of rishus adam. So according to Acherim, it's not makom tur at all. It's not Makom Torah. It's either Rishus Yachid when the door is open or Rishus Rabim when the door is closed.
Even though it has the size
and everything. Yeah. Because bottle, so yeah. Well, again, we're going to explain on that test why Acherim say that. Okay. The Im Hoise Iskupa Gvaya Yoder Chavadalim. Now, if this Iskupa, if this stoop is 10 Tzachim tall and 4 by 4 wide, I raise the Rishus Lasma, then it's a Rishus of its own, meaning it's Rishus Yachid. Yeah. It's Rishus Yachid. But nevertheless, the Gemara is going to explain later what the Braisa means is you're still not going to be allowed to carry from the house to that stoop. Either both Rishus Yachid, so it's going from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Yachid. Nevertheless, the Gemara is going to explain later on why you can't do that.
So it's a space.
That's 4 by 4 and 10. So it is Rishus Yachid. And if a person carries from it to Rishus Rabim, he is going to be chayev. But nevertheless, midrabanan, you're not allowed to carry from the house to the stoop when the stoop is 10 by 4 by 4 or vice versa.
Yeah, because it's Rishus
Yachid. But it's Rishus Yachid, it's Rishus Yachid. The house is also Rishus Yachid. So why can't you carry from it? So that we'll see in the Gemara. That we'll see in the Gemara lineup. Okay. So now thus far the bright. So now let's start analyzing it. Oh, mama. Zuhi Rishus Yachid. We said the definition of Rishus Yachid. We gave examples. We had a ditch in the ground that was 10 by 4 by 4 or a wall that was 10 by 4 by 4. So we said Zuhi Rishus Rabim. This is Rishus Rabim. Now we started by saying Ezim Rishus Rabim. So why the repetition? Lama'otimai. What is that word? Zuhi Rishus Rabim. It's coming to exclude what? The answer is Lama'oti Hodi Rabbi Yehuda. The Braisa wants to exclude a case that Rabbi Yehuda holds up. The Tanya. Yes, there are Kain Omer Rabbi Yehuda. You have like this. Rabbi Yehuda starts by saying you have a case where you have a bridge And Rabbi Yehuda holds, now they have the edges of the bridge. You have the edges when you're going under the bridge and you're coming out of it. Rabbi Yehuda holds that we hold of a concept called pi kikra yoreda v'soisim, the ends of the roof, because the bridge, in effect, is like a roof over your head. The ends of it are considered to come down and close the space. Therefore, the area under the bridge, according to him, would be a rishas yachid, at least on a daraisa level. Then he said, and the Chum disagree, yes, there are Kain Amr Rabbi Yehuda. Then Rabbi Yehuda goes further and he says, you don't even need an overhead thing to be counted as Pitzik or Yerba Sosim. Mishi Yesh the Days Basim Mishne Sidi Rosh Hashanah. If a person has two houses, one on each side of Rosh Hashanah, opposite each other, Oysa Lechi Mikan, the Lechi Mikan, what he can do is he can make a Lechi on each side. So a Lechi is a vertical pole, which in Erevin, in the first paragraph of Erevin, it talks about that. When you have a mavui, when you have a dead end street, so then you, on a daraisa level you're allowed to carry there. Actually, I'm machlokes rishonim whether it's considered rishasiyata daraisa or not, but whatever. The point is that you make a lechi over there, and that you have two possibilities. You can make a lechi, which is a vertical pole by the entrance to the mavui, and that makes it that now you're allowed to carry in that mavui once you make the shi'utu
pole.
One pole, yes. So again, you have. No, one second. The other one is a kora, which is a horizontal beam across. Either way, the point is, again, you have Rishonim who learn that Daraisa you're already allowed to carry in an area enclosed by three walls. So therefore, all you need the lechi or the kora for is Dirabanan as a heker, as a remembrance that you should not carry from there to the street or vice versa. You have another opinion, I think the Rambam, which is that Daraisa you would not be allowed to carry there, but the lechi, in effect, is considered like a fourth wall. Either way, the point is you put up a lechi, you put up a kota, which is a vertical beam, you put up a kota, which is a horizontal beam, one or the other. Then once you make a shikr from a voyas, you're allowed to carry in that mavri. Once everybody whose house is, whose chaseris, whatever, open into that mavri, joins together and gives it food or whatever to make an eruv, then they're allowed to carry in that mavri. So you have Rabbi Yehuda is saying the same thing over here. You don't need to make an eruv. You don't need to make an eruv with food because you own the houses on both sides of the street. So you don't need, so to speak, the software for the eruv, which is the food. All you need is the hardware, which is the lechi or the kara. Good. You put up a lechi at each end. You have, in other words, so here's the Rosh Hashanah. You have a house here. You have a house here. Good. So Rabbi Yehuda says you put a lechi over here. You put a lechi over here. And good, then you have the area in between. It's considered now that you have two walls on the two sides, the walls of the houses, the walls of the chaseris or whatever. You have a lechi here, you have a lechi here, good.
Not lechi here, lechi there.
Well, no. Here and here wouldn't do any good then, so it's still only closed in on three sides. You see, then the fourth side is still completely open.
So
what you have is here's one house here, here's the other house here.
Yeah.
Rabbi Yehuda is saying you're going to put a lechi over here and a lechi over here.
Oh, that closes.
And that closes it off, and then you can carry it. Or a coda at one end and a coda at the other. But no, so there's an answer, and then you're allowed to carry in the middle. So the Chum disagree with him. The Chum say you can't make an Eruv in Rosh Hashanah like that.
Yeah.
You would need actual doors, according to them. So therefore, our Braiso, so now, again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, such a place, the point is, Rashi says, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that once you have two walls, then already it's considered a Rosh Hashanah Braiso. So therefore, he says, so in other words, again, everybody agrees you can't make an Eruv in Rosh Hashanah. You can't make a lechi or a kora or tzuras ha-pesach or whatever in Rosh Hashanah and have it be valid. But Rabbi Yehuda holds, once you have walls on two sides, it's already a Rosh Hashanah on a daraisa level. Only did a banan are you not allowed to carry there. So therefore, according to him, you put up a lechi or a kora, then good. Then you have now you have a Rosh Hashanah and you're allowed to carry in there. And the Chum disagree, and they say that no, two walls is not enough to make it a Rosh Hashanah. It's still considered a Rosh Hashanah. And if you want to carry in it, you're going to need actual doors at both ends.
So you need two walls and two doors.
You need two walls and two doors, right.
Putting in two sticks and a tap also
would
not be
good. Also wouldn't be good because it's only a third of a pass. Right. Okay. So therefore, so our Braisa, which mentioned examples, for example, a ditch or a wall, and said, Zuhi Rosh Hashanah, the point is not like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the middle of a street can also be a Rosh Hashanah.
Oh.
Yeah. If you put a lechi or a kara.
Taking away from.
So the question is, am I kara like Gemura? So why did the Braisa use the word Gemura, a complete Rosh Hashanah? What is that word adding? The answer is Ma'udatema, because otherwise you would have thought, Ki Tligir Abonin Alei Rabbi Yehuda. when did Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda? Deloy Havi with Rishus HaYochid, and they're saying that this area between the two houses with the Lechi or the Korah on each end is not a Rishus HaYochid. You would have thought, Hani Mila L'Talzo, they would say, when it comes to carrying in that area, then you're not allowed to carry there. That's not a valid Eidu for Rishus HaRabim. You can't carry in there because people are easily going to confuse it with a real Rishus HaRabim. No, the street. The part of the street over there between the two houses where he made the Lechi and the Korah, so fine, the Chachamim are saying, Eim Ha'avin Rishus HaRabim. Aval, meaning which is lachi or kara. You would need doors.
So, in according to Chachamim, if the Rishus HaRabim, you would have two walls and two doors. That would be good.
Yeah. Right. So, if you ever get, for example, if you ever get the mayor and the city council and the borough president, for example, to agree to install doors at each end of Eastern Parkway, then yeah, you might be able to carry there. Yeah.
You want to address it.
Okay.
Sukkah and Rishus HaRabim is a Rishus HaYachid.
Inside the sukkah, yeah, I guess so. A different question whether you're allowed to put up the sukkah in Rishus HaRabim. That's a different question because you have to get permission. Aval Lizrois, but you would have thought if a person is throwing something from Rishus HaRabim from the other parts of Rishus HaRabim into that area, maybe they would agree that he would be chayev because after all that area maybe they would hold is considered Rishus HaYachid to that extent. Maybe it's not Rishus HaYachid to the extent that the Chachamim are going to allow you to carry in there, but maybe on a Daraisa level, yes, it does count as Rishus HaYachid. And therefore that carrying or throwing from it, it's not really a distinction between carrying and throwing. It's more distinction between carrying within that area, which the Chachamim are going to ask for you as a Zera, because you might come to carry in regular Rishus HaRabim, not realizing, versus carrying or throwing between the other parts of Rishus HaRabim and it. Again, you have left there, there's this segment of Rishus HaRabim, which Rabbi Yehuda is saying that once you have your Lechi at each end, then you're allowed to carry in it. The Chachamim are saying that not. But you would have thought, without the word Gemurah in our Braisa, that maybe the Chacham hold, yes, it can on a Daraisa level be considered a Rishus HaYachid. Therefore, if you were to carry or throw from the rest of Rishus HaRabim into it, you would be chayav. Only Midrabanan is not allowed to carry in it because it's very easily confused with regular Rishus HaRabim. So you would think maybe they're moed at him in that case. Kamash Malan, that is why our Braisa uses the word Gemurah, that only the kind of things that we described are considered a Rishus HaYachid. That kind of thing is not considered a Rishus HaYachid in any way, shape, or form. So therefore, that area between the two houses with the Lechi or Korah. So therefore, according to them, in other words, even whether you actually, so if you carried in there less than 4 amos, you're not going to be chayav because it's a Rishus HaYachid. If you carry more than 4 amos in there, or if you carry from the rest of if you carry more than 4 amos in there, you're going to be chayav because it's Rishus HaRabim. And if you carry from outside that area, from a different part of Rishus HaRabim into it, less than 4 amos, you're also going to be potter because it's still all part of Rishus HaRabim. From Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaRabim, but it's less than 4 amos.
But if you walk from the Shusab into this area, it would be...
As long as it's less than 4 amas, you're potter. If it's more than 4 amas, you're chayav. In other words, the coins of the Chacham, that area between the two houses is no different than the rest of the Shusab. Right? That's why we add the word Gemura to specify that only, that according to the Chachamim, only a Rosh Hashanah Gemura are you chayav for transferring between it and Rosh Hashanah, but not this kind of thing that Rabbi Yehuda is calling a Rosh Hashanah. Which is regret. Well, it's just Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Then we said, Amamau Zuhi Rishus HaRabim. We said, we gave a definition of Rishus HaRabim. We said, Srakio Plakio Gdoyla, Mavoyas Hamfaloshin, or Rishus HaRabim. So again, we started out by saying, the Ezuhi Rishus HaRabim. Then we finish off, we mention those three things, and we say, Zuhi Rishus HaRabim. So what is that adding? What is that coming to exclude? The Ma'uti Idich, the answer is coming to exclude something else that Rabbi Yehuda says. Another din that Rabbi Yehuda says, which the Chachamim disagree with. This man, we learn like this, also in Eruvin. You have a case like this. The Mishnah mentions in the second paragraph of Eruvin that you have a case, there's a well that's in Rishus HaRabim or Karmelitz or whatever, and you have the Olei Regel need, when they're coming to Yerushalayim for the Yom Tovim, they need to be able, they themselves need to drink, their animals need to drink. The problem is that the well is the problem. The problem is that the well is in Rishus HaRabim, and the well itself is deep enough to be Rishus HaYachid, so if you're going to draw water from it, you're going to be carrying from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. You can't do that. So the Chachamim said, what you can do is, so you have the din. So what the Chachamim said is that usually, in order to be mastered, such a thing, you would need a proper wall. You would need a proper wall around it. However, in this case, for the sake of the Olei Regel, the Chachamim are makel and tell us that since on a Daraisa level, all you need is what's called Shem Mechitzis. You need that there's the semblance of walls, even if there's large gaps in the wall. The fact that there's gaps is only makes it a problem in Rabbanan. Therefore, what you do is you put up four L-shaped pieces around the perimeter of the well. One, two, three, four.
Okay.
You have a gap between them. There's a maximum width of the gap. You have a choikus there. Also, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, what the maximum gap is. 10 amos, 13 amos, whatever. Four L shapes, one at each corner.
Mm.
Yeah. Here, I'll show you a diagram. See? Here. So even though, so as long as the gaps between the diyumdin, they're called, the L-shaped pieces, are not more than a certain amount, if there are, then you have to put in other pieces in between, but you have a machlokas over there of Yehuda and the Chacham, whether the maximum allowed is 10 amos or 13 and a third amos, whatever. As long as you have less gap than that, then fine. You have a semblance of walls over there. You have an appearance of four walls. 10 or 13, whatever. That we'll learn later. And the point is that you have these four corner pillars, and therefore that's enough on a daraisa level to be able to carry in there, and therefore the Chachamim allowed it. So now what happens is, the Mishnah mentions over there, Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, Hoyta Derech Rishus Adavim, Master Kosan, suppose you have an actual Rishus Adavim passes through these Jumdin. What if you have, for example, that this is smack in the middle of the street, and you have people are constantly, there's constantly people and animals and whatever passing through these Jumdin. So Rabbi Yehuda, that is Mevato, the Mechitzis. Also Rabbim Mevato, the Mechitzis, it's called. The Rabbim passing through caused the Mechitzis to be bottled. Therefore, you have a problem. Therefore, you have a problem. You don't have a valid thing of mechitzis anymore. Therefore, you start kennel it's dubbin. Therefore, you have to reroute the Rishus Rabim around the diyumdin in order for them to be valid. But chamim and it's tzarich. Whereas the chamim say it's not necessary. So our brisa say zuhi Rishus Rabim is only the srati or plati or gerla whatever are considered Rishus Rabim. But walking through the Biyomdin is not considered to be a full Rishus Rabim, such that it shouldn't be a problem with the Mechitzis and you wouldn't be able to use them anymore to draw water from the well. That is what that's what the Braisa wants to tell us, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, by the way, Rashi refers over here to Gemara and Erevin that asks Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim seem to be contradicting themselves. When it came to the two houses on the two sides of Rishus Rabim, Rabbi Yehuda is allowing it with a lechi at each end. He all of a sudden is having problems with people walking between the Diyumdin and the Chachamim the other way around. So what's going on? So the Gemara answers, because the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda each say, in our scenario, when Rabim are going through, there's less of a problem than in your scenario. Because Rabbi Yehuda would say, at least in my scenario with the lechi at each end, you have two full walls on two sides. Over here, you have no full walls at all. You have corner pieces and then big gaps between them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Chacham say, okay, but over there, you have no semblance of full walls at all. All you have is two walls and a lechi at each end. That's not enough to be a semblance of a wall. As opposed to over here, you have a semblance of a wall. You have an appearance of walls. Okay, they have gaps, but at least you have each corner delineated.
And wagons wouldn't necessarily fit through.
No, they would, because, again, you can have up to 10 amos or 13 amos, whatever, in between. That's room enough for at least a narrow wagon.
Yes, if they walk through, they might fall into those pits.
Well, okay, they have to be careful.
Well, it's still both semblances of a wall.
No, a lechi is not wide enough to really be a semblance of a wall. A lechi doesn't even have a minimum width.
And a diyum also.
A diyum has a minimum width. It has to be an amma in each direction.
Oh, it has to be an amma in each direction.
Yeah.
So it's two ammas.
So no, it's an L shape.
It's an angle.
One amma and one amma. Okay, so why did our brayta use the word gemura in this connection? What is the word zuri rishosam gemura? What is that adding? You're right, it's not really adding anything. I did. Once it mentioned in the beginning, Rosh Hashanah Gemurah, and we had to do that to stress that only that the kind of thing Rabbi Yehuda is describing, the middle of the street over there with a lechi at each end, is not a Rosh Hashanah in any sense, then we use the word Gemurah by Rosh Hashanah Abim also, even though it's not really adding anything. Okay, last, the Lech Shav Nami Midbar. Now, why in the list in the Braisa when it mentions things that are Rosh Hashanah, that are Rosh Hashanah Abim, it left out one? Fine, those are the same in the previous Braisa. Ve'hamidbar, and the desert. So why did the previous Braisa leave out the desert? Because the difference between when the Jewish people were in the Midbar, then it was considered Rishus Rabim, because you have 600,000 people living over. And not only that, we showed him say that once you had 600,000 Jews living in one area of the Midbar, then the entire Midbar is considered Rishus Rabbim. For the same reason that we were talking about before, according to the Poskim, we say, for example, that once you have 600,000 people in one part of the city, then it counts, then the rest of it counts as Rishus Rabbim, because it's all attached. The same thing over here, because the Jews could travel anywhere in the Midbar they wanted. And with Canada's Manazet, where nowadays nobody, not very many people walk through the desert, therefore it's no longer considered Rishus Rabbim. Well, that's true also, but that's neither here nor there. With that said, though, the Rambam seems to understand the other way around, because the Rambam writes generically in Hilchos Shabbos that a Midbar counts as Rishus Rabbim. So the Noitzer Kalem on the Rambam asks, what do you mean? According to the Gemara over here, it's only 3,000 years ago was it Rishus Rabbim. And the Ketzet Mishnah brings in that connection of Tshuva from Rabbi Avraham ben HaRambam, who explains what his father's Shitta is, that the Rambam learned our Gemara the other way around. What does it mean? When the Jewish people were living there, the areas where their tents were are not Rishus Rabbim, because you have their tents are there, they're camped over there, and therefore it's not free for everybody to walk. So that area is Rishus Rabbim. Only the area where nobody's camped is Rishus Rabbim, as opposed to nowadays, the whole Midbar would be Rishus Rabbim, according to the Rambam, because anybody could go there. You don't have 600,000 people. Doesn't matter. The Rambam doesn't hold to the whole 600,000 people concept anyway. As long as it's 16, no, he doesn't. Rashi and Tosfos do. The Rambam does not.
So as long as it's what, 16 on
the... Yeah, there's many midbars that you can walk through. What do you mean? I mean, you have...
people live on the highway.
No, you don't necessarily have the people live there very much. The highways pass through there, too.
Coming to the Rambam, as long as 16 amos wide, that's it?
16 amos wide and not roofed and straight through, then yeah. Omamai, let's go back to the Braith. So we said, Imhotzi v'hitnes b'shoyu chayev chasas v'mezid onesh koris v'nisko. We said that if a person transfers something between Rishos Yochan and Rishos Rabim, b'shoyu is going to be chayev chasas, and if it was b'mezid, then he's getting koris or skila. It doesn't matter. Threw something, carried something, whatever. The point is he transferred something between Rishos Yochan and Rishos Rabim. So the question is, b'shogeg chayev chatas pshita. Obviously, it's chayev chatas. We know that one is Rishus Yochan, one is Rishus Rabbim. So you just say chayev. Once we know chayev, automatically chayev means chatas. You're right. The major onesh koros v'nisko is tricholai. You're right. The chiddush is not so much the chatas. The chiddush is that he's going to be getting koros of skila if it was the major. Question is, honami pshita. Isn't that also poshut? The answer is, ha kamash v'lon kederav. The answer is the Braitha wants to tell us something that Rav said, based on what Rav said. The Omer Rav, Motfasi Megillah Storim Beirachia. Rav says, I found a secret document in the yeshiva of Rachia. This was during the time when you weren't yet allowed to write Torah Shaval Peh. You weren't allowed to write Torah Shaval Peh for teaching to other people. But if you had a chacham heard a new din, a new concept in Torah, and he was concerned that he might forget it, he would write down a private note for himself. That kind of thing is called Megillah Storim because they had to keep them hidden. During the week. So Rav is saying, one time I was looking around in Rukhiya's house or Rukhiya's yeshiva or whatever, and I found one of these Megillah Storim, the Kosuva, and it said in it, Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Ovis Malachas Mem Chosar Achas, there are 39 Ovis Malachas, as we're going to learn in the seventh parak, the Enechayev El Achas. But if a person does those Malachas, he's Chayev only one. Now, it sounds like what he means is that suppose a person did all those malachas, the helam echad, he's only going to be chayev one chatas. If he forgot that it was Shabbos, let's say, then he's going to be chayev. He did all 39 malachas, let's say. It sounds like Isi ben Yehuda is saying he's only going to be chayev one chatas. He must say, Eni, what do you mean? How could that be? Well, it's not. We learn in the seventh parak of its malachas, mem chaser achas, v'havinon ba, and in the Gemara over there, we ask, minyon alomali, why does the Tana need to give us a number, our boyin chaser achas. We ourselves can count the malachas in the Mishnah and reach the number of 39. The chiddush, why the Mishnah mentions the number 39, is to teach us that is the maximum number of chatois that a person could get for breaking Shabbos. Suppose the person did not know that it was Shabbos. Now, we have the cases over there in the Mishnah. You have three cases. You have a person who never knew about Shabbos. You have a person who never knew about Shabbos in the first place. You had a person who didn't know that. You had a person that didn't know that today was Shabbos. And then you have a person who knew that it's Shabbos, but he didn't know that Malachas are also. We're talking about the third case. The person knows that it's Shabbos, but he doesn't know that Malachas. He doesn't know that Malachas are also. What? No, forget about it. We're talking about Chabbos. We're talking about Beshoyim. So he didn't know that any malachas are after. The maximum number of chatois he's going to bring is 39, because if he does all 39 of his malachas, he can't be chayav more chatois than that, because there's no more of his malachas than that. And if he does an av and a tolda, then he only chayav one chatois for it. So the maximum is 39. That's what the Mishnah wants to tell us by saying 39. The point is, Isi ben Yehuda b'Pashtus agrees with that. So what is he saying in this Megillah Sardim that if a person is doing all the malachas, he's only chayev one chatas? Ela ema, ein chayev al achas mehem. No, what Isi ben Yehuda means is out of the 39 malachas, there is one of them for which he's not going to be chayev. There's one of them, Tosfos discusses over here, not that Isi is saying there's one of them for which he wouldn't be chayev chatas. There's one of them for which he wouldn't be chayev misa. Out of the 39 malachas, 38 of them carry a chiyuv misa. One of them does not. With Edom Asra. We don't know which one that is.
We know that there is,
according to Issi ben Yehuda, there is one for which a person is not chayav misa, but we don't know which one that is. So therefore, our braisa, when it mentioned that b'mezid for carrying on Shabbos, he's going to get kares to skila, just the opposite. You should know this is one of the ones that's not the stuff.
Oh,
so now you're down to, now you've eliminated out of the 39, we know that there were, according to Issi ben Yehuda, 38 out of 39 malachas carry a chiyuv misa, but one does not. Now we know that he saw the achnasa in the category of the 38. Now we know there's 37 others, there's 38 other malachas that we have to wonder about, is a person chayav misa for them. But if a person carries on Shabbos with Edom Asra, no question the braisa is telling us that he's getting skila. That is the point of mentioning. That he's chayav koras and skila to tell us that even according to Issi ben Yehuda, he's going to be chayav koras and skila. Okay. Then we said in the braisa, the Omamar Avol Yam. We mentioned Rosh Hashanah, we mentioned Rosh Hashanah. So that's it. So far we've analyzed that part of the braisa. We've explained why the braisa has to tell us that a person transfers between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah, why it has to say that he's chayav chatas. It's not really. There's no chiddush that he's chayav chatas. The chiddush is that he's chayav skila. For that is definitely one of the 38 malachas, even according to Issi ben Yehuda, for which a person is chayav skila. Okay, then Omamah, we said in the braisa, now let's talk about timeless. Avo yam ubikav ha'yisivonis va'timeless. We said a lake. Or an open area of field, or an istavonis, an area of adventures and whatever that we said before, a stav, v'akamalis, eidem loiker shasayachid v'loiker shasarabim, so they're like neither shasayachid nor shasarabim. So later on Daf Zayin, the Gemara will deal with what karmelis is separate, or how, what, in what way is karmelis separate from the other one, but first we have to ask the question, are you telling me that a valley full of field is not considered a Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah? It's considered a Karmelis as far as Hilchos Shabbos? But we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Taharis where it discusses, now you have a concept when it comes to the halachas of Tumah and Tara, you also have a difference between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. Because you have, when you have a Sophic Tumah, if it's in Rosh Hashanah, then the person is Tomei, or the object is Tomei, when a person who has a Sophic Tumah in Rosh Hashanah is going to be Tomei, but if it was in Rosh Hashanah, it's going to be Tomei. We learn it from a Soita. The Gemara mentioned in a few places, we learn it from a Soita. A Soita is secluded alone with one person, because that's how she becomes a Soita, and then she's Sophic Tomei, and you have to have her drink the Soita water. Therefore, when a person is alone and something of Tumah happens, and a Sophic of Tumah happens, then he has to consider himself Tomei Misophic.
So if you touch a dead share in the Rosh Hashanah,
if you actually touch it, you're Tomei no matter where. But if you're not sure if you touch it, you're not sure if the sheriff was alive or dead, you're not sure if you touched it or not, etc. So if it was in Rosh Hashanah, then you're Tomei. So the Mishnah says over there, Habika b'Motachama, a valley full of fields during the summertime, where during the summertime there's nothing growing there, and people therefore can walk through it and use it as a shortcut. Rosh Hashanah, the Shabbos, or Rosh Hashanah, the Tumah, relative to Shabbos, is considered a Rosh Hashanah, because after all, you don't have not that many people go off the highway or go off the road to go through the field. Some people will, but it's not a common enough thing to do that should count as an extension of Rosh Hashanah, or Rosh Hashanah, the Tumah. But as far as Rosh Hashanah, it counts as Tumah, because people do go in there, and once you have three people going in there, that's enough for it to be considered a Rosh Hashanah relative to the Dinim of Tumah. Because again, by the Sota, you only have two people, her and the guy that she's suspected of. So once you have three people, three already is Rosh Hashanah. B'moisag Shomim, continues the Mishnah, during the rainy season, when the fields are planted, and therefore you're not allowed to go into the field because you're going to ruin the plants, Rosh Hashanah l'kan l'kan, and it's Rosh Hashanah for both purposes. So the point is, the Mishnah is telling us there that either way, the Bikkur is Rosh Hashanah as far as Shabbos. What are you telling me that it's timeless?
In the summer, it's Rosh
Hashanah. As far as Shabbos, we said either way, it's Rosh Hashanah. As far as Tumah, there's a difference between summer and winter. But as far as Shabbos, it's a Rosh Hashanah always. So what do you mean? Almost all of them kindness, Tavia. So Ulla says, you're right. Actually, it is considered a chimelis. Therefore, for example, if a person were to throw something from a Shasta Rabban into that field or carry it, he would be potter. So why does the Mishnah over there use the word Shasta Rabban? Well, if you say no, just because it's not Shasta Rabban. So in other words, the Mishnah is not getting over there into the detailed dinim of Shabbat, Shasta Rabban, Shasta Rabban chimelis. It just wants you to know it's not considered Shasta Rabban as far as Hilchot Shabbat.
But it's not
a Shasta Rabban either, really. It's neither here nor there. And Rav Ashi, I'm going to eat form a chistus. Rav Ashi says, you have another explanation. You could say that the biko we're talking about is, it has walls around it. Now, even though it has walls around it, it is an area more than base sasayim. And the Gemara discusses in a number of places in Eruvin that when you have an area that is enclosed, that is more than base sasayim, more than the area of 5,000 square amos, which was the area of the courtyard of the Mishkan, and it wasn't fenced in l'shem gira in order to live in, then midrabbanan and all have to carry in there. Such an area is called a karkif. So therefore, so we're saying, even though it's fenced in, so midraraita counts as a reshus yachid. Therefore, if a person threw or carried from reshus rabim into it, he would be chayiv. So in that sense, the Mishnah is calling it a reshus yachid, v'chihada amma ula amma rabbi. And like what Ula says in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, karkif yosim v'beis sasayim shalai hukaf ladira, a karkif that's greater than beis sasayim, that's greater than 50 by 100 amas, it was not fenced in for the purpose of living there. Even if it's the size of a base kur, which is 30 times, which is 15 times rather a base sasayim, or kurayim, or double that, 75,000 square amas would be a base kur. Base kurayim is twice that, so it's very, very large. Nevertheless, hazorif l'sei chechayim. Why is it? Nevertheless, if a person throws something into it from a shasad abim, he's going to be chayim. My time, and why? Because b'chitzah, after all, it is a fence on a daraisa level. It is a reshus yachid. It's just it's lacking that people live there, and therefore midrabanan and all have to carry in it. But midraraisa is considered a reshus yachid. Therefore, transferring between it and reshus abim would make him chayim. So again, the first answer Ula said is that we're not talking about a field fenced in. We're talking about an open area of field. It is in fact a chimelis, but the Mishnah today was calling it reshus yachid in a looser sense. Rav Ashi is saying we're not talking about it's unfenced in. We're talking about it's fenced in. Okay. So why does each one say what they say? The Shleimer of Ashi lo omakid Ula. I can understand why Rav Ashi does not accept Ula's answer, because the fact is, why is the Mishnah using the word reshus yachid when it really is a chimelis? Ela Ula my time lo omakid shmeite. Ula himself is the one who just said that a karpif you're not allowed to carry, but it is considered a reshus yachid daraisa in the sense that if a person throws or carries from it to reshus rabim he's chayav. So Ula himself should use his own shita to explain our Mishnah and Taras. The answer is omalach. The answer is Ula is going to tell you id isle mechitzes bika karila, because if it has mechitzes, if it has a fence around it, what are you calling it a bika, which implies a wide open area? Karpif, you should call it a karpif. That's the proper term for it.
Whether you call it karpif or
no, the point is, in other words, why is our Braita saying bika? And why is mentioning Bika as a chimelis, and the Mishnah in Taras is mentioning Bika as Rosh Hashanah Yachid? If you're saying the Mishnah in Taras is talking about a fenced-in one, it shouldn't be using the word Bika. It should be using the word Taras. That's the proper term for such an area that's fenced-in but larger than base sasayim. The answer is Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi is going to answer Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Katani. Okay, the fact of the matter is it does say Rosh Hashanah Yachid. It doesn't say chimelis. So in other words, both Rav Ashi and Ula are going to have to agree that there's something inexact in that Mishnah in Taras. Either it's using the word Rosh Hashanah Yachid when it should have used chimelis, or it's using the word Bika when it should have used the word chimelis. So they're arguing which one is the Mishnah more likely to have been inexact about. But nevertheless, the din is still a din. An unfenced-in Bika is still considered a chimelis, as we had in our Braita on Baba Ben Aleph. A fenced-in one, as Ula has said, is considered a reshus yachid on a daraisa level, even though Jabon and all have to carry in there. And that's it.
There can be 5,000 and fenced-in and still be yachid.
So if it's up to 5,000 and fenced-in, not only is it a reshus yachid, but you're even allowed to carry in there Jabon on whether it was fenced in, l'shem gira or not. If it's more than 5,000 or more square amas, unless it was fenced in, l'shem gira. For example, a person fenced it in, like his backyard or something. If it was fenced in, not l'shem gira, like over here, it's a field, people grow things over there, then you're not allowed to carry in there if it's 5,000 square amas or more, even though it's fenced in.
Because
that's the size of the courtyard. This is, for example, a playground. So if you have a playground that's larger than 5,000 square amas, even though it's got a fence around it, you wouldn't be allowed to carry it. You wouldn't be allowed to, the kids wouldn't be allowed to throw a ball in it on Shabbos, let's say.
And Midoraisa?
Midoraisa would be allowed to, because it's fenced in. But on the other hand, the Chacham can't take away the fact that the Daraita is a Rishus Yachid, and therefore, if a person were to throw a ball from the street into such a park or into such a playground or the other way around, it would be high again. Okay. Yeah.